Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. So at the time of this recording, earlier today, I jumped on Twitter X and pulled up a tweet. And the first tweet that I saw, it read, and I'll read it to you verbatim. It says, 4 years ago today, COVID-19 was officially declared a global pandemic. And it made me stop for a second. And I was like, wow, it's really been 4 years. And so as we rewind back to 2020, it made me think about, you know, some of the things and that happened and how we've been able to get through this global pandemic. COVID-19 and the pandemic really affected everybody, and affected us in so many ways. And I'll be honest, it probably affected us in some ways that we're not even sure of and won't be sure of probably for many, many more years to come. And it's not just from a health perspective, but it could be from a mental health perspective. It could be from a physical perspective. It could just be from an overall psychological perspective. But to say that COVID did a number on us would be a huge understatement. So let's flash back to 2020. So March of 2020, I remember it. It's not like it was lost with me. I remember it distinctly because I want to say the first week of March, one of my boy Ryan, he lost his wife. She won her battle with cancer. Her name was Kim. Rest in peace to Kim. And I think they had been married at the time 19 years or close to it. And so Kim's home growing service that we had, that they had here in Atlanta, that was the last public gathering of people that we had in a long time. And I remember sitting at a table because COVID was here. It wasn't like all the way here, but it was here. It was here in this country. It wasn't some disease in China that wasn't coming here, unlike what you were told by the leaders in this country. But I'll get to that in a second. So it was weird. I just remember sitting at the table and somebody said, man, this might be the last time that we all kind of get together like this. And I found that to be weird because, again, we were learning on the fly. The initial reports, the initial things that we were told were far from the truth. And the truth is, at a funeral of, I don't know, maybe 100 people, we probably shouldn't have been there. Not like that. And, you know, we would later find out that even there was a small town, I want to say Valdosta, somewhere like that in Georgia, South Georgia, far, far south from, you know, where I live in Atlanta. But there was a similar situation. There was a funeral and like the whole town came to the funeral and almost everybody that was in the church got COVID and a lot of people died. But it was spreading just like that. Nobody really knew. And they didn't know what to do and what not to do. But yeah, it made me think about Kim's funeral because, like I said, that was the last time that we would be, you know, together in public in a group of people. And then by the 17th, I think, of March, I lost my cousin Tara. Very, very close to me. She passed away She also won her battle with cancer as well. After fighting it off for 10 plus years. And so, but by that time, and Tara lived in New Jersey, the New York metropolitan area was ground zero for COVID. Like, it was so bad that, you know, Tara's homegoing service really wasn't much of a homegoing service. There was like the funeral director, my cousin, her sister, who streamed it on her phone, and that was it. And then when they went to the burial, it was just those three or maybe one or two other people. But like you up there, you couldn't even think about being together in numbers, because by that time, you know, metropolitan New York City, the tri-state area was COVID central. And so when I think back to the, you know, 4 years ago, that's where we were. That's where I was, you know, processing the loss of Kim, and I was hurting for my boy Ryan and their kids. And, you know, because he, much like me, had married his college sweetheart, known Kim for years, not really sure what he was going to do and how he was going to manage, you know, their three kids. And then also grieving for my cousin Tara, because, you know, again, she had been here for so long. She's 9 months older than me. She's always been like a big sister to me. And I haven't lost people that close to me. And so you got all of that playing on me. And then we have this global pandemic. And I just remember being at work one day and they said, hey, we're sending you guys home. And I was like, whoa. And I pulled my supervisor to the side and she said, well, hey, look, take your computer home, take all your stuff. She said, I don't think we'll be back in the office until this is over. And I said, well, when do you think it's going to be over? And she said, I have no idea. And none of us did. There were some people who really thought that, you know, COVID would just go away. That was far from the case. And quite honestly, maybe if we had, you know, done what we were supposed to do as a country, as leadership in this country, maybe, just maybe, we would have been able to get out of COVID within a month or so. If we had done what we were supposed to do, if we'd gone home, locked in, stayed in the house for a couple of weeks, who knows? But that's not what was said. I will say this much. As I look back 4 years ago, I'm very impressed on how we as a people were able to adjust. Adjustments are good. Everybody can adjust. Not everybody wants to adjust, but adjustments in life are necessary. And I think as a nation, as a people, we did a tremendous job in adjusting. Now, there are some of us who were very hesitant to adjust. But I think we were able to adjust and pivot pretty good. I mentioned, you know, leaving work and having to work online. Now, my job at the time, yeah, I mean, could we work from home? Yeah, we could work from home, but they didn't like that. They wanted you in the office. And so I took my computer home. And to be honest, I took all my stuff. Because at that particular time, I had already started interviewing at other companies. So I had one foot in and one foot out. So I was ready to leave. And I was like, you know what? Let me take all of my stuff because I ain't coming back here. So hopefully by the time this blows over and we're back in the office, I'm in someone else's office. So I didn't tell them that, but I took all of my personal stuff. I didn't leave anything personal to be any of my personal stuff behind. And so, you know, the ability to adjust, the ability to pivot, like I said, going from not being able to do anything to actually having school online or having work online. It was a trip because my kids were here. And now all of a sudden, you know, everybody's here and everybody's out of school. Our oldest, he was at college, and our middle son was a senior in high school, and his high school senior year got wiped out, you know, and he graduated online. You know, there was no ceremony for us to go to. But you know, that's a part of it, you know, and I tried to make sure that I acknowledged to him, like, look, it could have been a whole lot worse for us. It just wasn't. So be thankful in that. But I'm still amazed at how we were able to pivot and adjust, because adjustments were necessary and the adjustments were made on the fly. And I think, you know, it was a lot for us to deal with, along with dealing with the stress of being in a global pandemic and not knowing what was happening next. But I mean, even something as simple as our entertainment. Now, all of a sudden, we can't go to the movies. We can't go to concerts. We can't go hang outside. And I think, you know, it's easy to get cabin fever, but there's something to be said when it's one thing to be in the house, and then it's another thing for somebody to tell you, you have to be in the house. Like, there's no other alternative. That's tough. But you adjust. And I think we adjusted well. The way that we adjusted and the way that we pivoted, I think, was key, because some things were born out of that. Like, for instance, the Versus series, you know, that got us going. That kept us going. Being able to see some of our favorite stars perform online, and you log on to Instagram and you see you see Erykah Badu and Jill Scott singing their songs online in a virtual concert, and it's a million people on Instagram. Prior to the pandemic, I hadn't watched many people go live on Instagram. So the whole Versus thing was new to me. And then seeing like D Nice, doing his DJ sets, in what they call Club Quarantine. And that's the thing. Like, I saw D Nice go from being a guy who I followed his career as a DJ for Boogie Down Productions, shout out to BDP, to being this nationally world renowned DJ now, because of his time and what he did in Club Quarantine and getting us through the pandemic, through music. And, you know, so again, pivoting and adjusting. And then keep in mind, like, for me, this was tough because the NBA was the first to strike. The NBA said, hey, Rudy Gobert, who was the center at the center of the Utah Jazz at the time, he contracted COVID. And once he contracted COVID, they knew they couldn't play any basketball games. So the NBA shut down. Major League Baseball shut down. The NFL shut down. All major sports shut down. So there was nothing to watch on TV. Our favorite TV shows had to shut down production. So we were inundated with reality TV and reruns and things of that nature. And then it forced us again to adjust, and we adjusted, I think, pretty well. A lot was made of our adjustments. And I think it doesn't go unrecognized as far as some of the things that happened. But I mentioned a little earlier, leadership. The leadership in this country was god awful. I'm not going to mention any names because you know who I'm talking about. And I don't waste my time on my podcast talking about Duke. But Duke didn't know what the hell he was doing, which we already knew. But his inability to lead, his denial, you know, flipped the country upside down. And then it was a domino effect. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, one of my best friends works for the CDC. The conflicting information they were getting from the CDC was crazy. And what's my guy's name? What's the little doctor dude? Dr. Fauci. I mean, bless his heart. He tried. But I mean, like, what he'd say, then Duke would come back and, you know, the correspondence coming out of the White House was always contradictory. And again, people are looking for answers. If you're sitting in your home and you're scared that you're going to lose your loved ones and lose your job and lose your life or lose your way of living, yeah, you're going to turn to the people that you elected to lead you in the right path. And you realize they were clueless. And so that in and of itself should have made you want to get angry and get active. But no, I mean, like, the leadership was terrible. Nobody had a clue as to what they were. And I'm not even going to say I could cut them some slack, because here's the thing. There were procedures in place. There were organizations in place for a global pandemic, but they were tossed to the side. And so if you toss that to the side and you get rid of the people who are there to help, and you think that you know it all, then it will quickly be proven that you don't know it all. And like I said, it was just terrible. From the White House on down to the CDC, it was just, they failed the American public. They failed us. And it was costly. It was costly in money. It was costly in lives. We in this country lost over 1 million people to the pandemic. And that number doesn't go lightly on me, but I mean, to lose 1 million people, that's tough. Because here's the thing, of that million, and it was more than 1 million, I'm just using 1 million as a round number. Of that million, how many lives could have been saved if we did what the doctors said that we should have done, or if we did what the experts say that we should have done, instead of doing what we want to do? I mean, then we get to the point where early in the pandemic, the correspondence is saying, okay, hey, what we should do is put on a mask. Have a mask cover your face, cover your nose, cover your mouth, so forth and so on. Especially when you're in public, wash your hands for at least 30 seconds. If you're coughing, cover your mouth when you cough through your arm. Man, listen, I think I speak for all of you when I say we saw people do the total opposite. We saw people come in places, and then it became a issue for establishments. Okay, well, hey, you can come in the grocery store, but you can't come in without a mask on. And then you had some people say, well, hey, I'm not wearing a mask. And so the mask versus unmask debate roared on. And it was scientifically proven that, yeah, if you wore a mask, it didn't mean that you weren't going to get COVID. What it meant was, if you had COVID, because here's the thing, folks, if you got COVID, it was pretty likely that you would have spread it to someone else before you knew that you had it. So if I got COVID on Monday, I'm coming in contact with everybody on Monday. But here's the thing. If I'm protecting myself, I'm also protecting others. So maybe I get COVID on Monday, but I'm not giving it to the 20 people that I come in contact with on Monday. That's how it worked. Simple. But, you know, some people, you can't explain simple to dumbasses. So yeah, the spread was crazy and COVID ran rampant. And again, you had a situation where, you know, you had people who didn't want to get masked. There was a vaccine that was created. Oh man, that was those debates went on forever and probably still are going on. Get the jab or not get the jab. I know people say, oh, I'm not getting a COVID shot because they just made this vaccine last week. And then you had others that say, you know, I don't trust it. You know, last time we got shots, you know, we ended up with syphilis. I mean, right. All of these historians, all of these doctor people. And I mentioned on the previous episode that I did about COVID. I just suggested that you consult your own doctor. Do your own research. And I spoke with one of my best friends, Dr. Jamel, and she's been on the podcast and she's coming back as well. And she told me straight up, she was like, look, this is going to be around for a while. Like, And she said, eventually we'll get it and we'll keep getting it. But she said, you know, it'll be kind of like the cold, you know, as far as like how it affects your body, or maybe the flu. It won't be to a point, it won't be as potent where it will take you out, but, you know, we'll all eventually get it. And as crazy as it sounded and as scary as it sounded, but I believed her because, again, we've been friends for forever. And I know she's smart and I know what she knows what she's talking about. And so, but the whole mask versus unmask and the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, man, that debate went on and those battles went on. And meanwhile, we were losing thousands of people every day, one of which was my late Aunt Connie. And I miss my Aunt Connie. I don't know. I know she passed away from COVID, but here's the weird thing. My Aunt Connie had she didn't have high blood pressure. She had lupus. She had cancer. And she had something else. And she survived that for like 15, 20 years. And COVID took her out in like 3 weeks. It's crazy, right? And she didn't have to go. And neither did the million people that we lost to COVID had to go. And what was really weird about some people in this country was the blame shifting. Not so much as the blame shifting on who had a mask or who didn't. But I think people suddenly, and some of them consciously, some of them subconsciously, began to blame people who died from COVID for being outside. Oh, man, you heard about Ray Ray? No, what happened to Ray Ray? Man, Ray Ray died. He had COVID. Oh, was he outside? Did he have was he out here without a mask on? I mean, people were really, really passing judgment just like that. Listen, man, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I'm a firm believer in that, in my faith, in my spirituality, which I'm not going to talk about on here. But I will say this much. It ain't your place to pass judgment. I mean, when it was Lil Ray Ray's time to go, it was his time to go. That being said, you know, it ain't his fault that he got COVID. You don't know how he got COVID. And how he got COVID, I mean, like asking somebody, like worrying about why or how somebody died is pointless. They died. Didn't matter if they got hit by a truck or they died in their sleep. I mean, they died. You should mourn them. You shouldn't be worried about dumb ancillary things. The loss of life was, you know, really, really tremendous. And I think it's really... It's asinine to blame those who passed away, saying like almost subconsciously saying, well, they deserved it because they were outside. But we pushed through. We pushed through and we pushed through and we pushed through. A lot of things happened over these past 4 years. And I'll be honest, like there are times when I think of events and I have to ask myself out loud, okay, was this before COVID, after COVID? Because like, I have a memory of the world before COVID, but my memories of the world after COVID are totally different. It's just different. And I said on a previous episode, like, it would be in your best interest to document the times and things that we went through during COVID. Because here's the thing. If you're like my age, when you have grandkids and great grandkids, they ain't gonna believe half the stuff that you tell them. Because it would be inconceivable to them that this could have existed, a disease, something that you could not see. You could see somebody standing on the corner with an A-15, AR-15. You could see somebody, a group of kids running up to beat you up. You couldn't see this germ and this, you know, this disease. You couldn't see it. So you don't know. You could go to the gas station, touch the handle to pump your gas and then come and rub your face and get COVID. Just like, or somebody could just cough in your face. Or so you could just walk in a room and the air is just filled with COVID. I mean, it happened. You could be on a bus. You could be on a plane. Like there's really no way that you could find out how and where you got it from. You just know you got it. As I mentioned on previous episode a couple of years ago, you know, my family got it. And it's weird because Everybody in our house got it except Cameron, our middle son. And to this day, he still hasn't gotten COVID. the joke is COVID wouldn't like Cameron, so it didn't even want to bother with him. But of everybody that had it in my house, I had it, quote unquote, the worst. And I'll be honest, and I said it on the podcast, and it's worth repeating, I never felt bad. Like, and I kind of felt sorry for not feeling bad, if that makes any sense. Like, I was isolated in this room, so I was away from my family for a couple of days, and they were bringing my food in, sliding it under the door. I mean, well, not sliding under the door, but opening the door, and I'd open the door, and it'd be outside my office, and I had to come in here and eat, and I had a bed in here and stuff. And so, you know, I was isolated from the family, and I didn't go outside for a couple of days, but, you know, that's what it was. I wasn't in the hospital hooked up to no machines, and I never felt bad, but it kind of felt weird to know that that what I was going through actually took some other people out of here. So, you know, but blessed and thankful. But I think overall, I think we should look back on these 4 years and just understand that we're in a different place. We're in a totally different place. We will never, ever, ever go back to how it was. We just can't. There's no logical way that we can. Too much has happened. The world is different. It's different. Yeah. I mean, like, and I did different things. Like, prior to COVID, like, I don't think I ever walked around in my neighborhood just for exercise. I don't think I ever did. And I've been living here since 20. When we moved, in here in 2001. So, no, I never walked around in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, now I'm walking around in the neighborhood. You know, like I mentioned earlier, being able to work from home. I may not ever work in an office again. And that's cool. I mean, there are days that it would be kind of cool to go into an office. But does that mean I got to get dressed up? I ain't doing it. I'd rather be in a t-shirt and some jeans and some Jordans. That's it. But life has changed. And, you know, I feel fortunate that I'm still here. I think one of the positives that I took away from COVID is, I think at least I am, and I see a lot of people, we're more intentional. We're cherishing the moments. We're cherishing the days a whole lot more than we did before. I think if nothing else, COVID had us slow down. It told us, hey, you got to sit down. And when you sat down, you realize a lot of the stuff that we were chasing, a lot of stuff that we were concerned about really wasn't as important as we probably thought it was. And that's a big eye opener for a lot of people, because you realize, like, hey, I'm breaking my neck to get to this job. Well, guess what? If you die, this job will have somebody in your seat tomorrow. It's a fact. So ultimately, you know, we learn things like to take life a little bit more serious. And we learn things like to appreciate each other just a little bit more. We can't get back what we had before March of 2020. We won't. We'll never get that back. But what we can do is take away some of those lessons and, one, be thankful that we're still here, because over a million people in this country aren't any longer. And understand that we'll probably never see this again. And for those of you who documented your time during COVID, I hope you did what you were supposed to do. Because, again, 100 years from now, if somebody watches this podcast, I want them, or hear this podcast, I want them to understand exactly what we were going through. It was a lot of uncertainty, but ultimately we made it. Now we're on the other side of COVID. So how are we going to make it better? Because see, you can't go back to what it was, but what you can do is build on what you have and turn around and make it better for the next generation. Now, yeah, you know, you can jack up prices and you can try to make as much money, because don't get it twisted. A lot of money was made during COVID. Just look around. A lot of money was made. Might not have been made by you. Might not have been made by me. But a lot of money was made. And so where do you go from here? What did you learn? What did you take from it? Are you thankful? You know, ask yourself those questions. And then what do you want to see going forward? You know, ironically, we'll probably never see this again. It may be another 100 years before something this catastrophic ever happens. And if it does, God bless them, because we'll be gone. But ultimately, what I want you to do is, and what I want you to take from this episode is just understanding, like, it didn't have to happen this way. It did. We adjusted and we moved forward. But as you move forward, always look back and be appreciative of the fact that you made it, because a lot of people didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you for checking out this edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. You can find a podcast on any podcast reader, any place where you get podcasts. You can find them. We have a YouTube channel. You can leave comments on YouTube. You can also get the audio as well as the video of every episode. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a comment on Spotify as well. If you are on social media, follow us on social media. You follow me, 12 Kyle, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. I always forget Threads. Threads. You can follow the podcast on TikTok, as well as the others that I just mentioned, Threads, Instagram, Twitter X, and Facebook. And if you're so inclined, if you feel so inclined, hit us up, throw us some money, $TWELVEKYLE. And we have a Linktree link in the bio. Click that link if you want to get some 12 Kyle Podcast merch. We do have merch now. So help yourself. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5-0-0-0.